the baby, river's rising. Old frame house, she can't take one more beating.
This is part one of Come Hell or High Water, Remembering the Great Flood of 1916, a four-part audio documentary based on the film of the same name by David Weintraub. I'm Kim Clark. In his collection of contemporaneous stories about the Great Flood that decimated Western North Carolina in July 1916, publisher W.M. Bell of Charlotte wrote, "It happened suddenly. The wind blew. Clouds divided and poured torrents. Earth and boulders that had been resting on the mountainsides for hundreds of years went tearing down, carrying death and destruction in their wake. It was all over in 3 days, but in that time a damage of millions of dollars had been done to farms, railroads, and industrial plants. 100 or more men, women, and children had been swept to eternity." While to many people the culminating rain event that set off a chain of tragedy and turmoil across the southern Appalachians on July 15th and 16th, 1916, did seem to come out of nowhere, the disaster was almost 2 weeks in the making. Henderson County historian Jenny Jones-Giles, recorded at a recent panel discussion about the Great Flood, explains.
On July 5th and 6th of 1916, a Category 3 hurricane hit the Gulf Coast of Alabama and Florida. A few days later, July 7th and 8th, the weakened storm dropped heavy rainfall over the foothills and mountains of North Carolina. Normal rains, our normal summer rains, continued every day from July 9th to July 14th. And on July 14th, a Category 2 hurricane made landfall along South Carolina's coast, passing over Charleston. So on July 15th and 16th, this system reached the North Carolina mountains as what local folks call the tail end of the hurricane, the tail end of the tropical storm. So it had now been raining for 10 days in a row. So all the rivers were already at flood stage, and so when the tail end of that tropical storm from South Carolina hit, 80 to 90% of that rainfall became runoff.
The amount of rain from the second storm that fell that Saturday night on the already saturated ground was staggering. 10 inches in 12 hours in Henderson County, 13 inches in 24 hours in Hickory, 15 inches just north of Morganton, and the record was set at Alta Pass on the McDowell-Mitchell County line, more than 22 inches of rain in 24 hours. While the mayhem and destruction caused by the deluge were widespread, it reached biblical proportions along the eastern continental divide from Linville through Hendersonville, where the raging waters and thundering mudslides transformed peaceful mountain farms into nightmares. Edna Pryor, a lifelong resident of the Batcave area of Henderson County, who was a young mother in 1916, was recorded in 1974 talking about the flood and the torrent of mud, water, trees, and rocks that came crashing down the mountains.
It rained every day for 2 weeks until the woods and the mountains were just full of water. And finally, the slides begin to come off the mountains. And when the slides start off the mountain, it would slide and bring rocks and timber and dirt till it got to the creek. And then it stopped the creek. And I guess then up at Uncle Edgar's, he lived on the banks close to the creek. And he heard the torrent coming up on the mountain. And he stepped back in the house and told Aunt Belle, said, "I believe we're going to have to get out." He passed through the room. She was tying her shoes. She said, "Well, don't leave me." And he passed through the living room, stepped out on his porch. And about that time, the torrent hit his house. And he made a lunge to go off of the porch and hit the bank so hard that it skinned his face all over. And he turned and looked. And the house was gone. He saw the lamp explode, and the house went down with his wife and 2 children.
While Edna's uncle Edgar Huntley would never see his family again, fate was kinder to Edna's mother.
And my mother was sleeping in a room on the porch that was built on the side of our house, and on the end of the porch was a little bedroom. We asked her, could she sleep in that little bedroom, and she said, "I guess if I can sleep anywhere, I can there." So we went on the living room, and directly she picked up her clothes and come in our living room, and she said, I found a leak on the bed, and I decided I'd get out. And she come in there, and in a little bit, the tar hit our house, and it knocked the porch and little room as clean off of the house as if it'd never been there. And the bed that she would have been in is way down the creek.
More than 300 landslides occurred in the Bat Cave area. In the town of Bat Cave, which at that time was bustling and growing, every store was washed away as the Broad River swelled to three times its usual width. Donald Freeman is a lifelong resident of Girton, located between Bat Cave and Fairview. At the time of the flood, his grandparents lived in nearby Edneyville on a steep parcel of land on Cox Creek.
My grandparents decided that the best place was to leave the house, which was on lower ground, and go to the barn. And as they were going there, my grandmother was carrying my 18-month-old aunt. In the water, she was a very small woman, less than 5 foot tall. The water knocked her down, washed the baby out of her arms. My grandfather was having my Uncle Don, my Uncle Arnold, and my dad, Ray, over to the barn. And my grandmother had to make a decision. Did I look for the baby or get in the barn with the rest of the kids? Because she would not have found the baby, the rushing water. My grandfather, Tilden Freeman, went back to get the oldest boy, Lester, and an elderly uncle, 79-year-old elderly uncle, and take them back. And as when they got to the barn, part of the mountain slid off, knocked them out of the barn, knocked part of the barn down, washed the animals out of the barn. My Uncle Lester, my Uncle Don, my grandfather Tilden, and the Isaac Connor, the elderly uncle, 79 years old, were knocked down. Of course, they were separated. My grandfather found my two uncles, Uncle Don and Uncle Lester. The elderly uncle was not found for 3 days later, about 4 miles from there. He was, of course, deceased. They got back in the barn. My uncle said that they vomited up black mud the rest of the night, and they decided that they would move back to the house since part of the barn had been destroyed. They found the cow and the calf, the horse, the mule was gone. The hog was found partly of him down the road. 2 days later, they found my Aunt Catherine, 18-month-old child. A man swam a horse out to the debris pile and was able to retrieve the baby. Of course, she was dead. The elderly uncle, of course, all the roads was washed out at that time, so he had to be buried at a cemetery called Townsend Cemetery. He could not be brought back and buried at the family cemetery at Liberty Baptist Church.
Laverne Haydock's family roots in western North Carolina reach all the way back to the Revolutionary War on both sides. Her great-grandparents ran the Mountain View Inn in Bat Cave, and in 1916, it was the largest inn in the area, with a 150-seat dining room.
Mountain View Inn was owned by James Mills Flack and his wife Lavinia Davis Flack. And the flood came, and they tried to go out the back door of the inn and stepped off in water up to their waist. The current was too strong, and they went back in and rode the storm out on the top floor of the inn. There's a man named Bell who wrote a book about where he edited it, where he pulled all these different articles and stuff together, about the pig pen behind the inn coming down in a landslide and being buried under mud and rocks, all the pigs, the pen and everything. And a day or two later, they rooted themselves out and were perfectly fine. But on the other side of the family, the Haydocks were at home when the rocks and the trees and the water hit the house. And it just started collapsing around them, and they got out the kitchen door. They didn't have any light. They didn't have coats. They didn't have anything. And they went up on the hill and managed, by the grace of God, to be missed by the slides and stuff. And they sat up on the hill all night, and from about 11 o'clock till after dawn. And Aunt Mary was with her grandparents. And the creek changed its path and ran right under the porch of the house. And the chimney almost fell, and the house was tilted. And they got out and went up a hill, and they were carrying things out, hoping that they could get things out. And she talked about that she was going up the hill and stopped and leaned against a tree to rest, and then went on up the hill, and when she turned around, the tree was gone. It had been swept away in a slide. My Daddy's brother, Clyde, married a woman named Ellen Baldwin. And she wrote a book at the end of her life, and she was talking about the 1916 flood in it. And she talked about it was so loud. The rocks grinding against each other, the water and everything was so loud that you couldn't hear another person talking to you unless they put their lips right to your ear and yelled at you. And that it was awful all night.
The great flood of 100 years ago spread misery across the mountains. At Edgemont in Caldwell County, several houses were washed away and a landslide covered the railroad shops and tracks in 20 to 30 feet of dirt. It was reported that a landslide above Colletsville killed an entire family. The Blowing Rock Turnpike was completely washed away. An entire family was carried away by the Linville River in Avery County on Sunday night. On Monday morning, mother and baby of the family were found on a pile of debris in an eddy. Other than being stranded and hungry, they were relatively unscathed. However, 5 deaths were reported around Linville Falls. As historian Jenny Jones Giles explains, remnants of the catastrophic events of July 15th and 16th, 1916, can still be seen today.
In Transylvania County, the Toxaway Inn was washed away, dams broke, the Toxaway River was overflowing, and landslides were coming down into the river. And huge boulders that weighed tons were sliding down the mountainsides and landing into the Toxaway River. And those huge boulders are still sitting in the river today. Down in Back Cave, again, all these landslides were coming down and all these boulders and rocks were coming down off the mountains. And all those rocks and boulders that you see down in the Broad River, what we call the Rocky Broad, are a result of the flood of 1916.
Tomorrow, a story from Alta Pass on the McDowell-Mitchell County line, which received 22.22 inches of rain in 24 hours. And we'll begin to look at the aftermath of the Great Flood of 1916. This program is a production of WNCW and the Center for Cultural Preservation in Hendersonville, North Carolina. It's based on the film Come Hell or High Water, Remembering the Great Flood of 1916 by David Weintraub, which is currently touring the state of North Carolina and is also available on DVD with more information at saveculture.org. The film was made possible in part by the support of Frank Blasey, Stuart and Carola Cohn, and Sandy and Missy Schenck. The flood stories are from interviews conducted and recorded by David Weintraub. The theme music is Muddy Water by The Seldom Seen. The film was adapted for radio by me. I'm Kim Clark. Join us tomorrow for part 2 of Come Hell or High Water, Remembering the Great Flood of 1916.